The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Father in heaven, we are so grateful to you. We just want to appreciate you. I want you to go ahead and just tell the Lord that your heart is ready today and you want the Lord to speak to you in a new way. There is no new message that I will say that anybody would come here to minister to you, but that you will get a new revelation from every word that proceeds out of this altar. Father, we appreciate you. Precious Holy Spirit, I just want to get out of your way so you can have the right of way. I just want to yield to your leadership and just use my voice to minister grace into the life of your children. Just do something in their lives. They've come hungry. They want something new. Father, let them not go back empty. In the mighty name of Jesus, we'll give you all the glory, our Father. For in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I had the picture of my family up on the screen before now. Yes, that's my family. I'd like to introduce you guys to them. You know, as a typical African man, I didn't really take too much consideration to do this. But while I was in the hotel, I was just thinking, oh my God, these guys need to meet my family. So I just checked my phone, and this is what I could get. The guy on my left side, his name is Tolu. He's actually taller than me now. This picture was about three, four years ago. He's taller than me now. He's 14. He's 6'1". If you pray for me that MBA will take him, I will come and pay my tithe. So you guys should get on the prayer altar now. All right. The little girl there who behaves as if she owns the house, her name is Tony. She's Pastor Ben's best friend in the house, probably, because she asks a lot of questions. That's my lovely wife that Pastor was talking about. Her name is Duni, the Muslim girl that I met, and she's a pastor now. She has this women's ministry called the Sisters Unveil, you know, with almost about 20,000 followers, and they keep having fun every day. And the other guy wants to play basketball so badly, but I beat him all the time. His name is Tammy. He's the one right by my side. So I have three children from one wife. And that is my only wife. Come on, shout hallelujah. Amen, amen. The theme of your conference is tribe. It's an amazing word. And if you look at the dictionary meaning of tribe, it just means to prosper, you know, to flourish. It's a lot. And in a season like this, as believers, there is nothing we should be doing with our lives than flourishing and prospering for the Lord. Because every time we prosper and we flourish, every time we do great things, you know what? We make God look good. We make God look good. And I usually tell believers that you guys are at the product of a master, of a great craftsman. You know, before Jesus put the endorsement on you as a child of God, you were created perfectly. Let me tell you, I'm a brand consultant by profession. Most of the companies, before you see them put their logo, as a matter of fact, their logo is the last thing they put on a product. So when you see Toyota, when they produce a car, the last thing that they put on that car is the logo. When you see the Apple products, when they come out of the factory, after they've gone through all the tests, quality tests, and they are good, they're functioning well, then the logo goes on it. So before Jesus called you his own, he was sure that everything you need to succeed, to prosper, to flourish in life, he has given them to you. And like I said at the beginning of my communication with you guys, after the call of redemption comes the call to responsibility. And there's nothing in life, there is a lot of time what we see in the case of Christians is that a lot of Christians responded to the call to redemption, but never responded to the call to responsibility. And that's why you see Christians that are not flourishing, that are not prospering as expected. You see unbelievers that are doing better. How many of you know unbelievers that are doing better than some Christians here? Yeah. You know, the only problem with those ones is exactly the provision that the Bible has made, that, okay, you are doing great, you are doing fantastic, but what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? But the most important thing for us as Christians is to understand that the Lord wants us to strive. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to flourish. And one of the things that we need to come to understanding and terms with is our ability to take risk. And I've been called to come and speak on faith and risk. And I was just thinking in my mind that how best, I'm used to talking about risk in business community and in the midst of entrepreneurs and people that understand why it is important. So talking about risk sometimes in church is a little bit hard for me. But I pray that Jesus will help me today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, the most important thing we need to understand that risk is a very important part of our faith. It actually validates our faith. Now, if you are unwilling to take risk in your life, rather than walk by faith, you will be crawling by faith. And that's what a lot of people are doing. A lot of Christians are not walking by faith, they are crawling. They are too steaming, they are too cautious, they are too scared to take good charge of certain things in their life that could bring a turnaround for them. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. It's all about risk. You know, the moment we got conceived, it was all about risk. It was risky. From conception, it was risky for us. Amen. You see, every risk that we will take in life ends here on earth. So we need to wake up and begin to take charge. We need to take territory. We cannot achieve anything. We cannot possess the possessions and the promises of God if we are not ready to be bold and courageous. I don't even think that we'll be taking any risk, or there will be no adventure or innovation or any kind of creativity necessary for us when we get to heaven. How many of you know that? It all ends here. Talking about heaven, I used to have this little moment with my family, and once in a while we talk about what we say as our faith questions. When I have family gathering with my kids and my wife, we say, "Okay, guys, let's talk about our faith questions." There was one particular one, and my senior son said, "Dad, my faith question is I'm a little concerned about this whole idea of us, when we get to heaven, the only thing we'll be doing will be to be worshiping. That, isn't that going to be boring?" And immediately he said that, his second son said, "Yes, Dad, I've been wanting to ask you that, isn't that going to be boring?" So I just, in my mind, even when they're asking questions like that, I start praying already in tongues inside my heart so that I will know what to say. So when they finished talking, I said, "I don't know whoever sold you on that script. I was sold on that script long time ago too, that all we do in heaven is going to be praise, but I don't think so. I think that everything we do here on earth, we will do it better in heaven. That the only thing we do here that will not be in heaven is sin. There will be no sin and death in heaven. But everything." So I looked at the one that loved computer game, and I said, "Tolu, in heaven, the kind of computer game that they will have there, you will be amazed. Nobody has manufactured that kind of computer game. You will love it." And the one that loved basketball, I said, "Timmy, the basketball court in heaven, it's not even the one Jordan played. It's going to be super great." And they were like, "Wow." I said, "God cannot bring heaven is finer than earth. That's why we want to go there. So it's not about singing and worshiping." You know, so what am I saying here? I'm just trying to let you know that everything that God wants us to exhaust in terms of capability and our ideas and risk is right here on earth. It's counting on us. He has deposited the gifts and the talent in us so that he can express his creativity through us. And so we all need to begin to wake up to that reality. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that I usually tell people about life as a believer and as a human being generally, we're not just created to occupy space. You're not just here to just live. You're not here to tiptoe through life. You are here to add value, to make a difference in your lifetime. You know, you can't be too cautious about life. Risk is a fundamental part of your existence. The earlier you begin to embrace it, the better. The gospel is full of risk. People took so much risk to get the gospel to where it is today. And so we cannot afford to become the ones that will begin to back out and begin to lose courage when it is necessary. I love the way Les Brown will usually say it. Les Brown said, you got to let go the fear because you cannot get out of life alive. You know? So you can as well just do it. I'm going to quickly run us to Matthew. Let's quickly go to Matthew 25. I want us to look around the parable of the talent. You know, Jesus wanted to paint a picture to his friends and his followers, and he wanted to let them know that in this life you have to take a chance, that you are an investment that God has brought to this earth, and you must flourish. If you are looking for Matthew 25, it's after 24, okay? And we're going to look at 14 to 30. We're going to look at 14 to 30. I'm going to read it here. If you have yours open, just go with me. I love to read from the New Living Translation. How many of you like simple English here? Yeah, let's leave the King James Version for Pastor Ben. That's a very spiritual aspect. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. And he went further, he said, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Now, if you had somebody like me who will pause sometimes when I'm reading the Bible and think, And when you get to a point like this, you wonder, why is capability and ability important to God when he wants to give you any kind of talent? Why is that necessary? So in other words, he was viewing the ones that will be able to go all the way, the ones that have the courage, the ones that have the ability to go through the tide, even in times of difficulties, the ones that have the ability to grow, to develop. So he shared it in that pattern. And the scripture said he then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag, the guy with the low ability, 1 silver, dug a hole in the ground and ate the master's money. And the Bible said after a long time, their masters returned from his trip and called them together, you know, to give an account of how they had used the money. This scene is what you call the modern day Shark Tank. How many of you watch that program? Yes. So the most of you spend your time watching Big Brother. What do you call it? Yeah. Who are the business owners in the room? Where are you? Wherever you are. Amen. Amen. Don't be watching all those kind of programs. Watch CNBC. Okay. Bloomberg. Don't watch Big Brother Africa. I hope they don't arrest me. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more. In other words, your capacity has been tested and is trusted. Even in the midst of economic crisis, you didn't give up. You still invested and made more money. You were not complaining about government. You were not complaining about resources. All right, the master was pleased. So, Master, you gave me 2 bags. That's the next one to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you more. All right, let's celebrate together. Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, this guy was thinking about Nigeria economy. He was complaining about the government. He was thinking about the exchange rate. He said, there is no NEPA for me to be able to do business. And he started whining rather than winning. He started to complain. He said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Harvesting crops you didn't plant and garden crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money. So I hid it in the head. And look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from the worthless, that's my word, it's not the Bible, from the worthless servant, the one who will not take risk, the one who wants to play safe, the one who just wants to be born again and go to heaven and be worthless on earth. Take it from them, or take it from him. Even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May that not be our story in Jesus' name. We need to wake up. God is looking for capacity. He's looking for capabilities. He's looking for people that are able to stand up. People that it will begin to yield return from in our lifetime. And most of you sitting down here, you have everything that the Lord has deposited that can make you become great. I love the theme of this conference. Thrive. How many of you are ready to thrive in this place? Don't leave this place without a change or transformation of your minds. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to quickly look at, now, when we talk about risk, let me first of all say a fantastic God bless you to Pastor K. Come on now. Put your hands together for my sister. All right, so now I'm not telling you to go skydiving. That's not the kind of risk we're talking about here. Don't even do it because I don't do it. I'm so scared of heights myself. I don't take that kind of risk. And you can't preach me to do it. Even if you pray. So I don't do that. I'm so scared of heights that when I'm booking my flight anywhere, I always want to book the window side because I want to be able to lock the window. So, you know, if somebody else is sitting there, they have the right to it because I don't want it to be open. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the good risk. What constitutes a good risk? What are the kind of risks that God is expecting us to take as believers? I want to quickly put something on the screen and show you that. The number one thing is that God needs a return on his investment. So every investment, everything that we're going to do in our life, every risk that is worth taking has to be a risk that will bring glory to his name. You know, a good risk is a risk that has nothing to do with self. Do you know this guy on the screen? Yeah. All right. You know, I was just thinking in my head when I was thinking about people that I know in my lifetime that have taken certain risk and that I can talk about. And I said, why go all over the world when I have somebody in my own house, somebody close to my heart that I know? Now, let me tell you one of the things about us when we're growing up. We used to have great dreams. Like he said when he was doing his introduction, he wanted to be a banker. And I knew that was all Ben was caught up for. It was everything ready to take over the banking industry. He was ready to pay all the price. And he actually became a banker. I wanted to own a business. And I was doing everything possible. I studied business administration in the University of Benin with the hope that I'm going to come out as an entrepreneur after working a little bit. So somewhere along the line, many years ago, I can't remember precisely now, this guy called me and said he's going into full-time ministry. In my mind, I was like, did you really get a confirmation of this? You know, because as at that time, he was doing so well in the bank. I know so many of our friends that we finished from University of Benin together that he got into the bank. He was already, you know, up there, just going. You know, he was really positioned. I was just thinking that my friend is going to be one of the top bank CEOs very soon. And he just said he wanted to give it all away for ministry. You know, I wanted to take him to, you know, to the camp for deliverance. But I was very sure that he was delivered already, you know. So, you know, so we, you know, he went on and on, and I said, okay, oh, yeah, that's fine. How is everything going? He said, he just has to give God everything. Now, Seth was out of this because if it was about Seth, he had nothing. He had no business because Seth was sorted through the bank. He had the kind of class he wanted to belong to. He had the kind of reward, financial reward he was looking for. He was getting it. He was getting all the attention that he needed. But he said, there is more that God needs for my life. There is more that is important for not me, but to the kingdom and to humanity. And I'm going to trade away everything else. I'm going to give this promising, this amazing, this futuristic career. I'm going to give it all away to come and chase some people around. If you are one of the people he's still chasing around, it's about time you behave yourself. Because this guy did something. He traded off something to be here. And so when Pastor Ben sent me a topic, in my mind, as I was pondering, I said, I wish this guy knows I'm going to talk about him. Because I can never forget. He gave it all away for ministry. Will it have been better if he was a banker than he is now? Absolutely no. He's adding value to lives. He's moving his kingdom forward. He's populating God's kingdom. This is where you need to begin to think about when a risk becomes important. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know the story we read about the unfaithful or unfruitful servant. Let me give you my thought on it. Number one, there was a misunderstanding of the master. He misunderstood God. If we're painting the story the way Jesus wanted us to understand it. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity because I was surrounded by people that painted God to me in a very wrong way. I thought it was all about the moment you become born again, you have signed up for poverty. And I didn't want to be poor. So I was scared of believers. So when I see some of my aunties, they won't wear earring. The boyfriends that used to come and greet them at home will wear green suit and look very funny. And I used to say, no, oh no, I don't want to be like this. You know, I don't want to be like this. You know, I want to be Satoria. You know, I want to still be looking good. You know, and I just thought it was just... So I had a very wrong picture. So for a very long time, I struggled. So until I came into the Papa family and the Papa family of the Redeemed Christian Church of God and I began to, you know, to see that actually Christianity and faith is to add more value to my life than I can add for myself. And I vowed that once I become born again, there's one agenda that I will have. I will make Jesus beautiful. I will make Jesus so attractive that people will want to be Christians. Because for a very long time, people didn't model the essence and the benefits of Christianity to me. So that servant misunderstood the master. He didn't think he was serving a profit-seeking master. How many of you know people that think that God is not concerned about returns on his investment? They think all that God cares about is for you to be born again and just come to heaven. He would have taken you there the same day you got born again. He's leaving you here because whatever he has done to you, he wants to do something through you to affect the world. So I just want us to be vested in our spirit tonight and just be charged that I'm going to add value and the devil cannot stop me. Amen. Amen. You know, another thing about that unfruitful servant is that he had a preservative mentality. You know, the playing is safe attitude. Conscious about, he was very conscious about heaven, but very earthly worthless. You know, he just wants to go to heaven when he dies. That was the kind of mentality. So he said, you know what? As long as I'm in good, as long as I don't lose the master's money or his talent, I will be fine. Who told you the master cares whether you lose the talent? Just try. Just use your talent. Don't think for the master. Some people will not do business because they think if they do business, they will lose their salvation. Who says so? I'm a businessman. I'm still saved. Amen. Low self-worth was another problem of that servant. You know, he did not see himself as somebody who can do something, who can produce something, who can add value to the kingdom. I tell people that everywhere I am, everywhere I step into, I have a kind of, you know, settlement in my heart that I will make that place better than the way I met it. You know, it's just something inside of me. So I am so drunk in that mentality that if I get into an environment that there's so much God has deposited in me that the environment needs, and as long as I'm there, that environment will rejoice. And that is why when I get into anywhere, I begin to think of how I can add value. It has always been the story for me. So as believers, this is who you are. If the world is going to experience deliverance, it's going to be through you. If things are going to get better in Nigeria, it's going to be through you. If life is going to be beautiful, it's going to be through you. So we need to begin to wake up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everything is a product of risk. I have something written down here in my note about how the entire world is just wrapped around risk. You know, how many of you know that God took an incredible risk to even initiate the possibility of relationship with you? Sent his only begotten Son, it's a risk for God. If you will accept him, some are still not accepting him. But it was the right thing to do. God just wanted us to have a way around him. People that have preserved the gospel that we enjoy today, they took risk. Sometimes when I read about the stories of the apostles and what they did and how they went all the way and how they died, you know, even sometimes having that session of conversation with my children is very hard for me. Because my kids are always saying, but daddy, why? They took risk. What risk are you taking today? You can't even start an ordinary idea. Why? We have to wake up. Everything is about risk. Everything is a product of risk. The great things that you enjoy today, somebody took risk for them. From your mobile phone, from your car, from everything that has added value to your life as human being on this earth, somebody had to give up just to get that activated or that working for you. Of what benefit are you going to stand one day and tell yourself that this world will miss me when I leave? What value do you want to add to humanity? You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that risk is beginning to decline in the world. How many of you know that we are in this world where risk taking is beginning to decline? People are not taking risk anymore. Do you know the reason why? Number one is self-centeredness. We're in a selfie world. We're in a feeling world where everybody just thinks about self. Nobody's thinking about anything. How many of you know that we're in a selfie world now? Okay, the phone is an example of that, right? You don't need a photographer anymore. You know, so we're in a selfie world. It's all about feeling. That's why people can't take risk anymore. Now, if Pastor Ben had thought about himself, he wouldn't have left the bank. It's a selfie world. It's about feeling. But, you know, I love what the Bible said in Matthew 10:39. If I paraphrase it, if you want to gain yourself in this world, you got to help us lose yourself. Just don't take yourself too seriously. If I fail, what will people say? How many of you are victim of that? For a very long time in my life, I never took a decision because I was wondering what people will say when I fail. Hello, people are not paying attention. Just go ahead and take the risk. Hello. You know, just do it. Like Nike will say. Just do it. Amen. You know, so these are some of the things that is killing the world. You know, even parents are hurting children's ability to take risk. When we're growing up, when your teacher beat you in school, when you get home, you better not tell your parents because they will beat you more. Why take double beating? So you will just chill. But these days I hear that some parents will go and arrest teachers and lock them up for beating their kids. You know, we are killing the ability of children to be able to suffer and endure and feel pain. And, you know, when I tell my kids some of the experiences that I had in boarding school, sometimes they just think I'm lying. They say, "Dad, how can somebody tell you to lie down under the bed? That's not possible. That's not possible. How can human being like you tell you to be doing frog jump? Dad, that's not possible." They never believe me. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Now the Bible might not speak directly about risk, but there are two elements of risk that the Bible talked about, which we are supposed to understand as believers. And these are the things that works against our ability to take risk. One is the fear. Fear. A fear cripples our ability to function, our ability to perform. You can't even do faith with fear. You know, fear is one of the tools of the enemy. And let me tell you if you want to break down fear, you know where it goes. Fear of self, fear of your life, fear of your reputation. I remember when I had so many years ago when I had issues with my first house in Atlanta, and there was so much business problem and funds. I wasn't getting enough funds, and I couldn't keep up with my mortgage, and they were going to foreclose the house and take it away. So, you know, I was beginning to lose sleep, and my wife was restless, you know, like a woman, so worried. And every time letter comes from the mortgage company, I will be the first person to run to the mailbox. So once it's from the mortgage company, I'll quickly keep it so my wife will not see it, because I didn't want her to die even if they take the house. So I was taking all the shocks, you know, I was doing all that. You know, until one day I just finished meditating in the morning, and it was as if the Holy Spirit said, "If they take the house, so what? You know, so what?" You know, and I stood up and I began to evaluate the so what. And I realized that the so what was so much about myself. Yeah. And what would they say? People that have seen me in this house, what would my friends say? Some people even told us when we got the house that you guys are too in a rush. When did you come to America? You have already bought a house. You will know this country. So I was so scared. You know, so I called my wife and I said to my wife, I said, "If they take this house, we'll go back to a two-bedroom flat and we'll start life again. So what?" I said, "Why do you care about people that can't even help you now?" So you are broke. You are broke. You are struggling. You are struggling. You are trying to think of an idea, and you are just there. The devil is telling you that if you fail, you know what people will say. What are they saying now that you have not done anything? Who cares? So what? I think we should have that as hashtag so what. You can send it on social media and say hashtag so what. Fem Foundation. How about that? Let's do some evangelism with that. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so the Bible wants us to be courageous. You know, David cried out in Psalm 56, verse 3, about courage, about help from God. 2 Timothy said that we do not have the spirit of fear. We got to be courageous. Fear is one of the things that is killing everybody. Some people won't even take risks because of the fear of your reputation. Jesus did not care about reputation when he was hanging out with drunkards and people that are of low level. He didn't care. Jesus did not care about the reputation when the Pharisees would see him delivering an adulterous woman that was supposed to be stoned. He knows that she did something wrong. He took risk on her. He has everything he has deposited in. The same spirit is in you. Be courageous. Amen. Another problem that we usually have is the problem of control. You know, we need to be able to, in our mind, answer the control question. Who is in control question? Every time we always think that we are in control, we are really not in control. You know, some people just want to have control of everything. You can't have control of everything. You need to be able to trust the Lord. You know, you might not have the right money to start your business. You might not have the right skill to start that business. But you need to be able to understand that God has so much that will be deposited, that will be opened up for you as you take that first step. All you need to do is to move. You know, when Peter took the first step, I can bet you that Peter, many of you just think that Peter has so much faith and he was one kind of boat guy. Let me tell you something. He must have put his feet first to see that the water was strong like a land before he now started walking. Amen. Let's keep going. I'm just going to stop now. My time is up. I'm going to just round this up. And so you know, when you look at the similarity between faith and risk, both faces uncertainty. Let me tell you something. Even when you say you are walking in faith, it also faces uncertainty. The comfort in your heart is that God promised it. And now if God doesn't want to deliver it at that time, you still take the risk anyway. So they both face uncertainty. The same thing with risk. You know, they both see possibilities. You know, they see possibilities and potentials. You know, so that's one of the things that we need to understand about risk. In a case of risk, you never really lose. I always tell people, just like John Maxwell, we say, sometimes you win, other times you learn. You know, it's not every time. You know, if you fail at attempting to do something, that's not the end of the world. That's the end of you. At least you have learned something. So we need to get up and move. Amen. You know, I learned that the biggest risk in life is not taking risk. And you don't want to be that person. I know there's a story I wanted to share, but for time, the story of the lepers that had to, you know, the Lord used those lepers to deliver the promise of God that was delivered by Elisha to the king. You know, when everybody was shaking, these four lepers said, okay, if we do not go there to assess what's there, we will die. If we go, they catch us, they kill us, it's the same die. Die, not die. Right? So you are broke. How bad can it get? Then run with the idea. If you don't make it, you try it. You know, so we need to begin to think in that mentality. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. You need to give up self if you must take risk in your life. You need to give up complacency. You know, don't be complacent. Don't just feel that where you are now, you just manage there. You need to dissociate from wrong people. People that want to play safe all their life. You know, when you tell them, they will just tell you that, okay, they will tell you all the people that have failed in that line. Why do you want to go there? You don't need those kind of people around you. You need to get out of the place of comfort. The place of comfort, when you begin to think that you're already in one comfortable place. Moses, I don't know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Moses, how did he think about leaving Pharaoh's palace to go to the desert? What were you thinking? You know, I'm going to ask Moses when I get to heaven. Now, you don't want to be complaining and whining. You need to give it up. Give it up. Stop complaining and whining. In this same land, people have planted and they have reaped. You can do it anywhere. I wish you can do it in Atlanta. That would be great. But I tell you what, even before I left this country, my friend will witness to that. I was already doing business in this economy and just getting by and getting people employed. I'm satisfied that people wake up every day. You know, when we get to heaven, I feel that there will be special award for all entrepreneurs. You know, God is just going to tell them, you just made the world beautiful. All you play safe people, good luck. You will be clapping for us when we get to heaven. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4 to 6 is the best way for me to close today. It says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. There's no perfect time. It's not until I have money. Until my uncle supports, until Nigeria economy changes. No, he said, no. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in his mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activities of God who does all things. And I love the part 6. It says, plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. For you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. If you don't have to fear in your life, what will you be doing? That's my question. If you believe you will never fail, if you know that God has got your back, if you know that God has given you everything you need, and He will supply more as you go along. What will you be doing? That's exactly what I want you to get yourself involved in doing right now. I pray that the Lord will empower and equip you in the mighty name of Jesus. I reject every spirit of fear in your life. And I pray that the courage and the idea and the passion to be able to do all things, that you, God will begin to activate it in your life in Jesus' name. I pray that the favor of God that is needed for your life, that the right association, the right partnership, the right sponsor and financiers of that dream, of that idea in your life, that God will begin to send them to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I love to collect quotes and, you know, some things. Like there's these two that I want us to keep our eyes on the screen and just look at. I just wanted to show you that before we pray. Look at that. It says, if you don't take risk, you will always work for someone who does. That's the truth. Isn't that more risky? Go and ask people that have been laid off. You will always do it. It's a more difficult risk to take. What's the second one? Let's go to the second one. I love that as well. It says, take risk. If you win, you will be happy. And if you lose, come on, everybody, shout it out. You'll be wise. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to you. We just thank you as we stand up in our spirit, ready to take over and ready to take charge, ready to commit those talents that you have entrusted in our hands and bring great returns to you when you begin to ask us. Lord, we don't want to come to you with excuses and with whining and with complaining. We don't want to come to you performing and looking dejected because of our fear. Father, we just want to surrender our heart to you. And we just thank you, Lord, for the courage that you have brought in this course of this sermon. We just want to appreciate you so much, Jesus. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here at Fame Foundation. Thank you for the boldness that will begin to follow from this moment. We give you all the glory, our Father. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.